Game on.
Game on.
2FM.
We're joined by two men who know what it's like to not only win All-Irelands, but to captain teams to All-Irelands. Tommy Dunn of Tipperary and DJ Carey from Kilkenny. DJ, I suppose to start with yourself, people talking today about whether or not this was the greatest game of all time, and, you know, unless you've seen every game of hurling ever, it's impossible to say so. But of the encounters between Tipperary and Kilkenny in recent years, has this been the best?
Well, I mean, they've been excellent, Damien. All of them, 09, 010 in particular, were fantastic. But, you know, if you look at yesterday's game with 54 scores, there was hardly a bad stroke in the game. The game was so fast from start to finish. For me, Henry Shefflin came on with 4 minutes to go. I thought there would be at least 15 minutes to go at that stage. I couldn't believe that all was left, and the time just flew. And it was, I thought it was just absolutely fantastic from start to finish. And I saw the highlights last night on the Sunday game, and, you know, there was even an awful lot of stuff that I had forgotten about or even missed in the game, even though I was at it, you know.
Tommy, from obviously, you know, you're a partisan and you wanted Tipperary to win yesterday, but from stepping away from that, people talking about it being a game that no one deserved to lose, do you go along with that?
I would go along with that. Now, having said that, I'd have taken a point win there if Bubbles' one had to go over the bar, and I wouldn't have been going back for a replay at that stage, to be honest. But, I, you know, it was a 50-50 call, or maybe it wasn't even a 50-50 call for that free. But I think, in fairness to both teams, and in fairness to both sets of supporters coming out afterwards, I met a few from both sides, you couldn't argue that a draw was not a fair result on the day, considering the effort and the class that both teams showed. You know, I thought a draw was a fitting end to it, yeah.
Tommy, a lot was made in advance of the game of the fact that you'd five members of the Tipperary team who had never faced an All-Ireland final before. And, you know, regardless of what you've done elsewhere in the game, there's an added tension, an added sense of nerves, I'm sure, when you see All-Ireland final 2014 underneath the Tipperary crest on a jersey. That experience and everything else that goes on, does that put Tipperary now in the box seat ahead of the replay?
Well, I wouldn't think so. I don't know if either team have gained much of an advantage over the other going into the replay. I think it's still very much a 50-50 game, to be honest with you. I mean, having said that, it's great that those five lads have the experience of yesterday under the belt. But, I mean, it didn't exactly prove a disadvantage to them going into the game yesterday when, you know, maybe some people thought the inexperience might be a factor. But it just, you know, I think these young players nowadays, you see even last year with the Clare team, I was thinking about that point particularly today driving along, and it was saying about, you know, inexperience and you know, what it's like to play in an All-Ireland final for the first time. But it didn't bother Clare last year, and that was most of those guys played in their first All-Ireland that turned on a savage display. So I don't think it's as big a factor as sometimes we make it out to be, really.
Okay. DJ, anything that you can see either manager reflecting upon and saying, I need to make drastic changes here or there ahead of the replay?
It's very difficult to make drastic changes. I mean, you know, I've said it already today that the tip forward line was fantastic. You know, 28 points from play was absolutely brilliant. Where did they improve the next day? You know, okay, Kilkenny forwards probably weren't as good in terms of scoring, but what work rate was put in, it was absolutely exceptional. So I'm not sure exactly, except both managers would probably go away and say, well, how can we curb such huge scores? Tip, I went away from the game yesterday. Tip had probably five or six goal chances, some pretty good ones. But yet didn't realise that Kilkenny had three or four really good chances that didn't take either. So there was a huge amount of goal-scoring chances, and obviously the two penalties as well.
And I suppose I was going to bring up the Nash rule, as everyone rushes to call it. Is the advantage now firmly with the defending team? You know, the debate is all going on again, DJ, that we need to make changes to how, you know, the defending team lines up now to defend a penalty or 21-metre free.
Well, my own record in the game, you know, I would have been as disciplined as I could be in the game, but certainly if I was a manager now, or I was a player, because these things have to happen on the field of play at a certain time, give away a penalty. It's certainly an advantage to give away a penalty than not than allow someone to go in and try and score on goal, because I do believe it's going to be very, very, very difficult to score a goal from a penalty now. And the point I'm making, and Tommy might agree with me because he has managed Breeze and 21s themselves, as well as concentrating on trying to hit the free or the 21, you also have to put a negative in your head, which means I can't go beyond the 21-yard line. So you actually see guys striking the ball even hurriedly now from that point, because they actually have to stop. Both linesmen yesterday were actually they were nearly blocking out the attackers and defenders from going in after the penalty, because they're on the 21-yard line on the semi-circle. Mm. So I think there's certainly something has to be done, and I'm still not convinced. Owen Murphy made a save yesterday from Seamus Callanan, where he was so brave. He came out, along with Joey Holden, they came out and they made a block with pure bravery. Now, the Tip lad's done the same. But what is the difference there in terms of health and safety that's going to be different with a penalty being taken, even if it's only been taken from 14 yards out?
Tommy, your thoughts?
From 14
yeah,
yards out.
Tommy, your thoughts on all that?
I would agree 100%. I mean, and DJ raised the point, and no better man to raise the point considering he was one of the best that ever stood over a 21-yard free. But I remember when this rule was changed, as we all do, earlier in the year, and I felt that this was never going to work. Now, I don't know why at the time it wasn't debated a bit more. I think all the onus on the conversation at the time was around the health and safety aspect of it, and there wasn't much, and actually doing something to change the rule. But I don't think they realised that it was going to maybe be as negative in terms of people, the amount converted from the penalty after the change. And I don't remember a whole lot of debate about it, or a whole lot of concern that maybe we're taking the disadvantage from the ball striker. But, I mean, you know, the key point is trying to strike the ball before the line, and that is, you can't underestimate how or overestimate how important that is in the mind of a free taker. Mm. You know, to actually have to factor in that, as well as trying to get all the other things bang on correct. And the reality is, I could never see this going to be an advantage to the attacking team, because the odds had to go way up against you scoring a penalty if you're moving back the ball and there's still the same number of guys on the goal line, unless you're an absolutely exceptional ball striker as Anthony Nash and Patrick Horgan. Actually, I think actually what happened was the weekend they made the change, or shortly after they made the change, there was a couple of right good goals scored from penalties or 21-yard frees. I remember Patrick Horgan burying one in Thurles, an absolute tremendous goal. And I think everyone said, well, it's not going to make any difference. But I think the fact of the matter is, and I think I heard a statistic today that there was 9 penalties in the championship so far. I think only 2 of them have been converted since this change occurred. So it is going to have to be addressed, and I hope it's addressed fairly soon. Obviously, it's not going to be done before the replay or anything like that.
Tommy, sorry for cutting in, but that point is very valid, and the Patrick Horgan goals, they were surprise goals in the sense of how he struck the ball. He struck the ball with topspin. It was the first weekend of the new rule. I'm not saying that the people on the line were taken by surprise, but you know, the only way of getting the ball into the net, as far as I'm concerned, is a mistake by the 3 guys now on the line, you know, or a topspin on the ball, which all, you know, the best thing to do is stay on the line. Don't come out, because you have 21 yards to save a ball, and no ball should get past anyone from 21 yards out.
We could be here till 8 o'clock just debating penalties and 21-metre frees and everything else, and you know, we'd miss out on the opportunity of reflecting on so much more from the game. But Tommy, just before we move on, the issue surrounding the Tipperary penalty and the advantage that it would have given them that early in the game, I know finals don't often turn on one incident, but if Tipperary had got a goal at that point, would it have been goodnight Irene for Kilkenny at that stage of the game?
Are you talking about the first penalty?
The first penalty, yeah.
3 points ahead. No, I don't think so. Sure, there was only 3 points in the game at the time, so if he had to score it, and I thought he was right to go for it, you know, if he was confident enough to, you know, obviously if you're going for it, you're 100% convinced you're going to score it. So that was going to put 6 points in it. It was certainly by no means going to get Tipperary out the gate. No way, Jose. But So no, I don't think that was a factor. Okay. I think the issue was when we missed the second penalty. I thought that was a huge factor. Actually, I thought it was going to be very hard for Tip to actually win the game, having missed a second penalty so late on in the second half. But they showed remarkable character to pull it back after that.
DJ, for you, who are the standout performers? Who are the men that can be particularly proud of their day's work?
I have the programme in front of me to go through them all.
But just like the ones that impressed you, you know, that stood up most on the biggest day of the year.
Yeah, I suppose if you look at it from a Kilkenny point of view, Owen Murphy, Paul Murphy, you know, TJ Reid, Richie Hogan, you know, in particular, those guys. I suppose if you look at it from the Tipperary point of view, I mean, who do you pick out from the backs? You know, Paddy Stapleton. You know, who did partner like Bubbles? I think the one guy that I was most happy for, I know Seamus Callan in there as well, but the one guy I was happiest for above all was actually Lara Corbett. And I said that well before the game. I said it the previous night. I'd love to see Lara having a big one because he's a great player and someone that's too often and too quickly criticised.
Yeah, and Tommy, on that, the point was made on Joanne Cantwell for Saturday Sport was in Kilmacud, and she made the point that did you ever think you'd see the day that you'd be building up to a Tipperary Kilkenny All-Ireland final, and Lara was virtually not mentioned in the build-up to the game.
Yeah, it was strange, all right, and you know he's been such a pivotal figure in all the clashes up to this, so it was a bit strange. But he needed to, you know, he really needed to produce a performance yesterday for his own sake and the sake of the team. And so did Noel McGrath, and both of them had really, really good games. They were on the ball a lot. They showed a real hunger and desire for it, and they looked really, really dangerous. So, you know, the Tip supporters are delighted with that. But I think Tip, you know, and I'm sure the Tip management were the same coming into the game, that they knew that they couldn't afford a forward line just to be relying on Callan and Bubbles to get them over the line against Kilkenny. Okay. Because you're always kind of banking that, you know, someone, you know, JJ or Joey Holland, whoever was doing the marking jobs on them, might actually hold one of them, and you were going to need someone to come up trumps with a couple of extra scores. And it turned out, you know, Larry and Noel in particular really came up, and Bonner had another tremendous game, and Garrow did his usual very steady workmanlike performance on the wing. So the, you know, the Tip forwards will be happy with their day's work. You know, and DJ mentioned maybe a few more goal chances that were created but, you know, weren't taken through some good goalkeeping.
Okay. Let's get a neutral perspective. Cathal Moore of Galway joins us. Cathal, how are you?
Great,
sir. We've got the Tipperary and the Kilkenny perspective. To go for the neutral, for you, can either side realistically look back and you know, lament that they're not celebrating an All-Ireland title homecoming tonight?
Well, I think Kilkenny will be disappointed at losing their lead. It's not often that they do lose a lead when they're 4 points ahead coming into the last 10 minutes of the game, and they'll be disappointed with that. And I think if they get in that position in the replay, they won't make the same mistake again. And I think they had a couple of opportunities. Maybe Richie Power had one where he could have taken a point and he chose to pass. I think maybe if he had taken his point at that stage, I think that was game over for Tipperary. But to be fair to Tipperary, they'll be heartened by the great comeback they had towards the end of the game. Mm.
Who holds the advantage for you? Who's the favourite ahead of the replay?
I think Kilkenny have the greater scope for improvement, because for the Tip forwards, I don't think things can get any better. They had all six forwards scored, the two midfielders scored, they even had two corner backs that scored, Paddy Stapleton and Michael Cahill, and four contributors when he came in as well. So in terms of scoring, I don't think they can do any better, because I know they had missed goal chances, but they only had three wides in the whole game, only one in the first half and two in the second. And I think that level of accuracy, you don't get that every day. And that's although Kilkenny weren't wasteful either. They had six wides in the first half and not much more after that, if they had any in the second. So, but I just think that Kilkenny have more scope for improvement. I think mm-hmm. they're six backs. They'll be disappointed with some of the defensive performances. Joey Holden and Brian Hogan were really under pressure in the first half. And even Jackie Turrell didn't, and JJ didn't seem their usual selves. So they'll be disappointed with the score that they conceded. Even though they were, you know, they can thank Owen Murphy for not conceding a couple of goals. He made some great saves.
The issue around the replay and for players, they've had to endure so much focus and the demand that's on you for tickets and media and everyone wishing you good luck and telling you how to get over the line and everything for the last couple of weeks. To now have to get yourself back to the heights of competing in an All-Ireland final again. Do Kilkenny hold some level of a psychological advantage there that they've been through it relatively recently?
Yeah, they've been through it a couple of years ago, and the only thing I was surprised by yesterday was that they didn't make more use of their bench. But Brian, nobody questioned Brian Cody and his use of his bench because of his record. But I thought we'd see the likes of Pádraig Walsh on earlier, and maybe Henry Shefflin. I thought he'd have more than 4 minutes in him, but you know, they're the best to judge their fitness. There are others as well, maybe people who had done well earlier on. Brian Kennedy had played a few games earlier in the championship when they were in trouble in the backs. I was surprised he didn't come on. And Tommy Walsh was another who played a significant role in the replay defeat of Galway, and I thought maybe he had a role to play. But obviously, Brian Cody has a habit of playing the players on form, and he knows best who's on form. But I didn't think they used Walter Walsh that well yesterday either. In the 2012 replay, he came on and he used his aerial supremacy against China. I don't think they used that yesterday. A lot of low ball was hit in towards them.
The line is tearing up on us a little bit, but we'll stick with it, and hopefully it might improve slightly, Col. I'll ask the hard question of the neutral man. A couple of tweets and a lot of reaction to the performance of the referee, as there always will be in situations like this. And I think Kilkenny fans slightly aggrieved with Barry Kelly. How would you rate his performance yesterday?
Yeah, Finn has reason to be really disappointed. There were a couple of incidents involving him, a stonewall free definitely in the first half where he was pulled down by Cathal Barrett or Paddy Stapleton. I can't remember who it was. That was a definite free in. And you know, I think as well for the incident near the end, I thought he deserved a penalty. And I thought he would not. I think Kenny can feel aggrieved about that. But at the end of the day, they'll be happy that the free was missed because they're very disappointed.
Okay. Cathal, I tell you, we'll let you go because the line is starting to pack in on us. Thanks indeed for joining us, Cathal Moore there. DJ, just to finish, Cathal thinks Kilkenny have the advantage. Do you think you'll be celebrating another All-Ireland title for the county on the 27th?
I don't see any advantage. From a replay point of view, I can tell you there'll be no problem either team getting up for it because if one team had been beaten yesterday, it'd be fairly down. So they're all delighted to have another day out. I would agree, it's very hard to see where Tip can improve on a goal and 28 points. Now, they'll probably look at it on the other side and try and concede less, but their forwards were absolutely brilliant yesterday. But, you know, from a Kilkenny point of view, our forwards chased, harassed, blocked. I mean, some of the blocking and hooking and commitment in that game was absolutely massive, which in a lot of cases goes unnoticed because you see the lovely scores, you see the goals and the points, but you don't see a lot of the hard grafting. And from my point of view, or from the Tipperary point of view, Tommy, again, might agree, in the last 10 minutes, the Tip forwards got in at least three hooks on Kilkenny backs that actually turned into points. And that's huge commitment. When you think the game is gone, when you think it's over, when you think the fitness levels are going down, to still be getting in tackles that late in the game. And there were three or four points down, looking like Kilkenny were going to go on and win. So, you know, I think there's no advantage. And this thing of Kilkenny don't be beaten in a replay, I can tell you one thing from a player's point of view. A player has no knowledge of a replay in terms of whether he can win or lose. He has no extra confidence or no less confidence, except there's another day out, and we have a great chance. And if we twig ourselves, get ourselves right, well, maybe it'll happen for us on today.
Tommy, just to finish, I'm sure you're going to go for Tipperary for the replay, so I won't ask you that. But dare we dream that we could have another encounter between these two counties that will be as good as the ones we've enjoyed up to now?
Look, that would be very unfair to expect another exhibition like that from the two teams, you know what I mean? But, you know, you don't know what you're going to get. You know what they're capable of. We've seen that. And look, if it's half or three quarters the same quality as that game, then it will still be an absolutely terrific game.
Okay.
That was as close to you often hear the term exhibition of hurling. That was as close to an exhibition as I've seen in an All-Ireland final in the time I've been going to finals anyway. And both teams, you know, it was an absolute privilege to be there to see the two teams play the way they played.
That's high praise indeed. Tommy, thanks indeed for your time, and likewise DJ and Cathal, who've joined us ahead of that. Alan Cawley, do you ever think back on your soccer career and think, should I have played a proper game like hurling?
I'd be some hurler, I'd say. Looking at them lads yesterday, the passion and commitment that was going into some of the tackles, I think I would have been hiding on the bench somewhere, I have to be honest. Wouldn't have been mine seeing now, but just listening to the lads, it's really interesting hearing their viewpoints from obviously the great players that they were as well. And the game, as a spectacle, it was just unbelievable. And I don't think you can give it a much higher compliment than Tommy did there in saying that it really was an exhibition. Because not only, I suppose, Tipperary, the pressure is on you. I suppose we've seen Dublin even in the football last week when they were chasing the game. You tend to do silly things when you're chasing the game, Damien. You start snatching at shots or chances. Whereas Tipperary fighting back yesterday, they reeled off the 3 or 4 points to get them back to the draw. And they were really such high quality points as well. They were really brilliant considering the pressure that was on them at that stage.
Can I ask you about, like, obviously, you know, you would have played as a professional League of Ireland player, but for the most part, most players are balancing full-time jobs and everything else. The level of fitness that's required of Gaelic players, is it far above what, like, the physicality yesterday, the muscular strength of the hurlers yesterday, is it far above what you guys would have had to deal with? And can you understand the level of commitment and how difficult it is for amateur players like that to compete at that level? Like, put that into context for us.
Yeah, it's the one thing that astounds me really about the GAA is the fact that these lads are working 9 to 5, going training. Like, you hear the reports and the stories, I suppose, in recent times of them training in the morning, going to work, training in the evening. So the level of commitment that these lads put in, it can never, ever be underestimated. And for them to be performing then in front of 80,000 people and put on a spectacle that they do, it's really phenomenal when you think about it. I think in terms of the fitness levels, it's a different kind of a fitness what's needed, I suppose, in the soccer, because as you said there, the physicality of the hurling and the GAA, not only are you running up and down the pitch for the 70 minutes or whatever it may be, but the hits that they're taking on top of that, Damon, I don't think you're taking them hits in a soccer, so it's a different kind of a fitness. But
half the lads would never be seen again if they took a belt of that, and you won't mind me saying that.
All you can do is take your hat off to them, okay. And I hope the replay is just as good as we've seen yesterday.
Get your game face on.
Game on 2FM. 2FM.